The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of Clear Channel Radio, nor should they be regarded as legal or investment advice. Seek qualified counsel before acting on any views expressed in this show.
This is Investor IQ with Glenn Wessel, where you hear straight talk about financial topics that impact you. Got a tax, financial, or investment question? As a CPA and holder of the Certified Financial Planner and Chartered Financial Analyst credentials, Glenn Wessel's the guy to ask. Now, here's Glenn.
And a very hearty good morning to all of you. Thank you so much for joining us here on Investor IQ this early Saturday morning. We've moved our time to 7:30. Hopefully that'll allow a few more of you to sneak out of bed and turn on your radios. My name's Glenn Wessel. I'm joined this morning once again by Agnes Cheek, executive producer. Good morning, Agnes.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we have a guest with us this morning whose name is Jennifer Moore. And Jennifer is an attorney at the Moore Law Office in downtown Asheville, and we'll be talking mostly about issues that are related to divorce. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Glenn.
Thanks very much for joining us this morning. Ordinarily, the topics we discuss on Investor IQ have something to do with investing, financial planning, things like that. But today, I think we're going to take a little bit of a left turn and talk about some of the dark side of things that can befall people when they separate or split. So I'd like to just ask you a series of questions that typical people might have on their minds when they're either in the midst of a divorce or contemplating divorce or separation. So before we get into the financial impact of divorce and separation, if you could just tell me basically the difference between separation and divorce. How are they really different?
Well, they are two separate processes, basically. Separation is the period after the parties, the spouses, stop living together before they are actually legally divorced. Now, this varies from state to state, but in North Carolina, you have to be living separate and apart for 12 months in order to be divorced. So that 12-month period in which you're living separate and apart is considered your separation period. During that time, you can do lots of things. You can resolve alimony. You can resolve property distribution, custody, child support. You can take care of all of those details, but you cannot be legally divorced until it has been 12 months.
So you can't divorce for at least 12 months. Can you get divorced and then attack the property settlement and custody issues and things like that? Or
you can, but there's a trap there.
Okay.
Because if you file for divorce and you have not asked the court to previously divide your marital property, then you've lost that ability. So in order
the ability to have a judge or to have a court? Okay.
Mm-hmm. So if you want the court to separate your marital property, you must ask them to do so before you actually obtain a divorce.
All right. So for people who think that they can do it amicably, they could actually get the divorce first after waiting the 1 year period and then pray that they were correct in that assumption? Is that
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Now, what would you say to people who are considering settling themselves or litigating? I would imagine that people come into you, into your office with bloodshot eyes and kind of looking worn out from things. Do they necessarily want to settle, or is litigation something that is preferred, or how does that wash out?
Generally, litigation is your worst case scenario. It is significantly better if people can come to some sort of resolution outside of court, be that through negotiation and speaking with each other, through mediators. There are a variety of different ways. But when you actually end up in court in a trial, that's, as I said, the worst case.
For those of you who just tuned in, we've been talking with Jennifer Moore of the Moore Law Office. I think your offices are on College Street and Charlotte, right on the corner?
Yes,
One Oak Plaza. All right. So if you're interested in having some of your questions answered, I would suggest that you give Jennifer a call. Jennifer, what's your number, please?
Area code 828-258-8053.
Getting back to the question of litigation, what percentage of people would you say actually are able to settle out of court?
I would say it's a pretty high percentage, probably in the 70 to 80% range.
Okay. So would it be fair to say that most people actually try to settle, and then those who litigate have just failed at the negotiations, or they just go right to litigation?
No, I would say most people try to settle. And in addition, if you do proceed towards litigation and there are lawsuits filed, it is required by the court to attend mediation.
Okay. Now, in terms of mediation, is that something an attorney would help with, or?
Yes.
Or is it like a family counselor, or who does it have? Who could it be?
There are actually different routes for that. Once you are in the court system, then it is a third-party attorney mediator who will conduct that. However, I've been seeing a growing trend of people prior to commencing litigation hiring counselors or hiring independent mediators to attempt to do that outside of the court system.
So you could just agree upon, let's say, a social worker who has been a marital counselor or something. I mean, that person could serve that role as well?
Absolutely.
No constraints on that?
No.
Okay. How about maybe some negotiation tips? Do you have any particular tips about what people might be thinking about as they're entering into negotiations with one another to try to keep the process tidy?
I would say for both people to be prepared, to know what their legal rights are going into the mediation so that they know what they want to come out of it, and so that both are on an equal playing field and that they know what to expect and what would be a fair resolution.
Okay. Now, I've done a little bit of research, so I don't look blatantly stupid here this morning for you, but one of the things that I found in doing my research was the existence of a so-called consent order versus a regular court order. I have some sense of the difference, but I was wondering if you might share that, because I think it could be important.
It is. It's a very important distinction. A consent order is something that is actually signed by a judge, so it becomes a court order. A separation agreement or a private agreement is something which is not entered by a court, and so it's a private agreement between the parties. And there can be a variety of ramifications depending upon which route you go. A separation agreement can eventually be converted into a court order as well. So it's sort of a confusing area.
All right. We'll attack it more when we get back from this first break here. We've been meeting with Jennifer Moore of the Moore Law Office. If you have any questions for her, give her a call at 258-8053. You've been listening to Investor IQ. Be sure to tune in after the break.